tight. I love hearing it. You guys are loosening up a little bit. I keep stretching y'all, and you're loosening up a little bit. That it is good for us to celebrate what the Lord's done. Hey, we're in Psalm chapter 92, and if you got a Bible, you can turn there. But this is an interesting psalm. It's the heading of it, which was passed down throughout church history, says that this is a psalm, a song for the Sabbath. Okay, so it's a song for a particular purpose of the Sabbath. And it's the only place in the Psalms that the Sabbath is mentioned. Now, several of these other psalms were probably used at the Sabbath, but this one was particularly written for the Sabbath. And so I think it's helpful for us to begin to understand, well, what is the Sabbath? And if you didn't go to Jeff's class that was several weeks ago, a couple cycles ago, that was on the Sabbath, where you really took a dive into what the Sabbath is for, I'd encourage you, it's a great class. There's 7 weeks, they're online. You can go listen to that. And maybe this sermon will stir you to go, ooh, I need some of that. But I just want to start that the Sabbath actually began in Genesis, that we see the beginnings of this, that God created everything, and then on the seventh day, he did what?
Rested.
He rested, right? And so we see, and we've made this connection, that the Sabbath is for rest. And that's true. But it's for rest and for remembering. That the Sabbath is for rest and for remembering. And so then we see that the people of God were supposed to keep this Sabbath, that they were supposed to rest. They weren't supposed to just be doing all the time, but that they were to rest. But then we see actually in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we see it in Exodus, but then in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, we see this instruction that after God has used Moses to free his people, God's people, from slavery in Egypt, to free them from that, he tells Moses specifically this, chapter 5, verse 15 of Deuteronomy. He says, "You shall remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt. And the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." And we go, well, that seems an interesting connection. You were slaves. God rescued you. Keep the Sabbath. And we go, well, what's the connection in that? Well, maybe let me ask you this. What is the most productive thing that you do every day? What's the most productive thing that you do every week? Is it the email you send? Is it your staff meeting? What's the most productive thing? I believe that what Psalm 92 is going to tell us is that the most productive thing for you to do every day, and the most productive thing for you to do as a rhythm every week, is to rest and remember. You see, the people of Israel, what was the most productive thing that they could have done to get themselves out of slavery? It didn't matter. Because God was the one who did it. All their striving, all their scheming, all their strategy sessions, all their planning meant nothing, because it was the powerful arm of God that rescued them. God's striving, God's working was what rescued them. And they needed to remember the Sabbath in order to remember that it was his work, not theirs, that mattered. We need this reminder in our schedule. We need this reminder for us that as much as we want to strive and do, our efforts are not the focus. What God has done on our behalf is the focus. Let's read Psalm 92, and we'll see this begin to play out. I want to read the whole psalm, and then we'll jump into unpacking it together. He says this, verse 1, he says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord," pay attention to where the focus is, "for you, O Lord, have made me glad by your works. At the works of your hand, I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord? Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know. The fool cannot understand this, that though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold, your enemies, O Lord, for behold, your enemies shall perish. All evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. In order to declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Would you pray with me? God, this morning, would you captivate us by your word? Lord, that your spirit might stir in our hearts to give us the desire and to convince us of the reality that the most productive thing we can do each day, each week, is to rest and remember that you are on your throne. To rest and remember that by your works we are saved and not by our own. To rest and remember the truths of your word in what you have done. Lord, I pray that you might do the work in our hearts this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to spend just a little bit of time. We've read now this beginning section twice. And it's that almost the psalmist is coming out and he's asking us this question, like, do you believe it's good to sing? Do you believe it's good to give thanks? And then he's going to tell us why. And so the rest of this psalm, I believe he unpacks. And so I want to give you three reasons why it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Three compelling reasons throughout this psalm that it is good. It is the most productive thing for us to do, to give thanks to the Lord and to schedule that to remind ourselves. The first one comes from verse 8. The way that this psalm is written, it all comes to a point at verse 8. Verse 8 is the middle verse. It's the shortest one in here, and it's just very succinct. That the first point is, it is good for us to give thanks to the Lord because the Lord is on high forever. That forever. The Lord sits on his throne. There are no circumstances which dethrone him. There is nothing past, present, or future which will change the reality that the Lord sits as the judge and the authority on his throne forever. For us to actually grasp that, to remind ourselves of that truth, that whatever circumstances you're in and the busyness that you feel like, I have to do this and I have to do that and I have to get this right, and well, what if I get this wrong? The Lord is on his throne forever. This or that circumstance in your life isn't going to change the reality that God is on his throne. We need that reminder. That there is a truth and a reality which is far beyond us, which we don't control. That God sits on his throne. And so there's a perspective that causes for us that we go, okay, well, when I see these things happen, which seem bad, or I see these things happen, which seem good, so what? God is on his throne. When I understand why this might have taken place and I don't understand this, so what? God is on his throne. That there's a steadying and a stabling effect to just being reminded that God is on his throne forever, that he is on high. That the discernment of his will, that the shaping of cultural events we need this reminder that everything is not chaos. Everything is not on this balance of will it tip this way or that way. God is on his throne forever. This truth reminds us that it is good for us to sing praise to him, because one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And it is a great reminder for us every day to put all of our circumstances in perspective, to put all of our decisions and our striving and our effort into perspective, that God is on his throne now, and he will be on his throne tomorrow, and he will be on his throne for all of eternity. It's good for us to sing. We can have joy because he sits as God on high forever. The second truth that we see in here, and this is gonna, I wanna hodgepodge some of this together in pulling these different verses. I believe that the psalmist, after he reminds us that the Lord is on high forever, and that truth should surpass all these other things, that he sits and rules and reigns, then he tells us that we should sing and praise because the Lord blesses the righteous. We should sing and celebrate because he blesses us. Look at verse 4 and 5. For you, O Lord, that for you is could also be translated because. So it's good for me to sing because you, O Lord, have made me glad by your works. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. That the blessings which you have experienced in life are not based off of your striving, your effort, your ingenuity, your intelligence. They're based off of a God who has blessed you. We need that reminder. Sometimes I think we begin to get into the thought process that we caused these things to happen in our life. And Psalm 92 reminds us God did the work. Just imagine Israel as they're fleeing out of captivity in Egypt going like, man, you know, that was really me that did that. And God goes, what? He didn't do that. I rescued you. That God blesses the righteous. That he has done great works. Look at verse 10. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. I know a lot of y'all quote this a lot, that this is oftentimes you experience a blessing and you're like, man, the Lord has really blessed my horn. You're like, what? The Lord just poured some fresh oil on me. That's gonna be your new saying, right? Community group this week, you're gonna be like, let me just tell you, the Lord poured some fresh oil on me. What is he talking about here? Well, the exalted like the horn of a wild ox is that this would be a symbol of blessing, of old age, of majesty, that it would be a symbol of success. And to have poured fresh oil would have been an anointing, a blessing, that the Lord has blessed me fresh and new. The psalmist says that you have done this for me. Morning and evening, you have blessed me. Look at verse 12 to 15 as he continues this. He says, the righteous. This is who is blessed, are the righteous, and they flourish like a palm tree. They grow like a cedar of Lebanon. They're planted in the house of the Lord, and they flourish in the courts of our God, and they still bear fruit in old age, and they are ever full of sap and green. Right? There's some more sayings for you, like, man, I'm just full of sap and green today. But what is he saying? He's using these illustrations that the palm tree would have flourished in the desert. That you have seen it as a symbol of vibrance. That the cedar of Lebanon was what they built the temple out of. That it was strength and stability. That it was not withering, but it was strong. And so he's saying that the righteous flourish. That they have been planted in the house of the Lord, and they flourish, kind of like Psalm 1, that the tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. That they bear fruit into old age. But again, I just want to go back to verse 12, and it says that the righteous. And I think it's worth us taking a step back and going, well, who are the righteous? The righteous are those who do what is right, who are considered right. The righteous are the ones who can stand before the judge who sits on his throne and enter into his court with boldness. And we go, well, wait a minute, I'm out because I've messed up. I can't stand before a holy God, the righteous judge who knows all things and has all control. I can't enter with confidence. Oh, but Hebrews says that those who are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, those who have been adopted in, those who have been washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus by faith, that they are the righteous and they can boldly enter the throne of God because they don't stand in their own righteousness. They stand in the righteousness of him who saved them out of slavery and bondage to sin. Oh, remember what the Lord has done and how he rescued you out of slavery with his righteous right hand and powerful arm. You see, the most productive thing for us to do is to remember that you're striving, that you're doing, that my efforts and intelligence and striving accomplishes nothing against my sin, and I needed Jesus Christ to save me. And God provided the way, and he rescued me, that he saved me, that he calls me righteous, that he plants me in the house and in the court of my God, that he sustains me, and that it's his spirit that fills me in order that I might be full of sap and green and bear fruit into old age. You see, we know the saying that old people sometimes get grumpy, but you don't have to. You can be filled with joy. You can bear fruit into old age, declaring that I have been planted in the house of my God and that he has done good things. You see, you can still bear fruit, not just in the prime of your life when you feel like you can accomplish so much. Actually, the reality is that you might accomplish the most in your life when you reach the point where you go, I can't do it, but he did. You see, have you ever felt like there was too much to do? There is. For you, for me, but not for him. Have you ever felt like I'm not good enough? You aren't, but he is. And Jesus fully satisfied everything that God required. Have you ever felt like, I just can't do it? You can't. But he did. And when we remind ourselves of that truth, it's the most productive thing we can do every day, every week. So then the question is, how do you remind yourself of that? You see, the Sabbath is for rest and remembering. That in all the striving, how do you carve out the time to remember this? I get it. I got 4 kids. I've got their schedules, their homework. We got things to do. We've got stuff that has to happen. And yet if we're too busy for this, I'll just tell you, you're too busy. When you cut the most productive thing in your week and in your day out of your schedule, you can't accomplish it all. It's a lie of sin, right? It's a lie that somehow we can do it on our own if we just do a little more. And it's just not true. And that leads me to the third point. The third point, why it is good for us to give thanks to the Lord, is there's a warning in this passage, because the Lord judges the wicked. It's good for us to give thanks to the Lord because the Lord judges the wicked. Look at verse 6 and 7. He says, the stupid man cannot know, or the simple man, or the foolish man. The fool cannot understand this. What is it that he can't understand? He can't understand the deep thoughts of God. He can't understand this, that the wicked sprout like a grass, and that all the evildoers, they flourish. But they are doomed for destruction. He can't understand because he can't see past the immediacy of the gratification that comes in that which pops up quickly. The foolish, the simple will always choose that which is now over that which endures. And maybe I could give just a quick illustration. I've got four kids, and one of them struggles to see that which is beyond because they're blinded by that which is now. Said, hey, you can have one cupcake today or three cupcakes tomorrow. What do you want? One today. Okay, if you take one today, you forfeit three tomorrow. Give me one today. But what if the Lord goes, hey, walk with me in righteousness, and I'll give you all the blessings of the heavenly places. And we go, give me my sin today. He goes, but you forfeit the blessings of eternity. And sin says, yeah, but you want it now. You see, there's a warning in this. The simple, the foolish, they can't understand that the wicked, they sprout up like a grass. We've seen this in our yard if it's a time for weed and feed, right? It's springtime. It's time to put out that which will kill the weeds. Why? Because the weeds spring up really quick, but they don't last. He says the wicked are like grass. They shoot up. They can grow anywhere and everywhere. In the cracks of your sidewalk, you're like, how does it grow there? Because it shoots up really quick and it doesn't care about enduring. It doesn't care about being like a tree of Lebanon or that which bears fruit into old age. It just cares about the here and now. You see, sin will take us down this path further than we wanted to go. And it will cost us more than we wanted to pay, and it will keep us there longer than we wanted to stay. But it blinds us with the lie of its fun and its now. We need to be reminded that the Lord will judge the wicked. Look at verse 9. He says, for behold, or again, because, it's good to sing, because your enemies, O Lord, for behold, your enemies shall perish and all evildoers shall be scattered. That we know how this ends. It's good for us to be reminded that it's not worth the shortcut. The shortcut is not a shortcut. Sin is a liar, and it never gives us what it promises. We need to be reminded that faithfulness, though it seems like those who are faithful are withering, we're reminded that they will flourish. And though it seems like the wicked are flourishing, they are doomed for destruction. Look at what he says lastly, verse 11. Psalm 92, I think, was written by an older person, because look at how they say this. If you've ever sat around grandparents, you know this. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies, and my ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. They go, listen, I've lived it a little bit, and let me just tell you what I've seen and heard. The psalmist reminds us that if we will walk in faithfulness, we will see and hear the truth of God's word come to fruition. You can bank your life on it. That things are not always as they seem, but you can base your life off of this. We looked at Psalm 73 a few weeks ago in this Psalm series. Psalm 73 tells us the same thing. He says, I almost stumbled. I almost slipped. I almost gave in because when I looked around, I said, why do I try to obey these things? Why do I fight so hard for the righteousness? Why do I try to please the Lord? And I almost slipped and I almost fell because everybody around me that's not doing that seems to be doing great. And then he says, and then I entered into the sanctuary of the Lord. And then I understood. Listen, if you don't have a time in your day and in your week where you rest and remember that the Lord will do what he says he will do because he sits on his throne, that the Lord blesses those that are righteous and the Lord judges those who are wicked. If you don't have a time where you do that, which is why we prioritize the gathering of the body together. It's why we prioritize reading and being in God's word on our own personal walk. You won't make it. Because it's not about your striving. It's about what he did on our behalf. Listen, the most productive thing for us to do is to rest and remember that the Lord is good. And then to sing about it. I'm going to invite the band back up, and we're going to have that opportunity that we need to remember. Last week, we maybe said, let's commit to praising the Lord at all times. Maybe this week, you would say, as a family and as an individual, we're committing to setting aside time where we're going to gather together, not just to rest from the busyness, but to remember, to remind ourselves that it's not our doing, it's what he did on our behalf. Would you pray with me? Lord, would you help us in this? And I know it pushes against our busyness, it pushes against our schedule. Lord, but based off of your word, I'm fully convinced that the most productive thing we can do every week is to prioritize gathering as a body of Christ, prioritize gathering and striving to remind ourselves that it's not our work, but it's yours. Lord, would you help us to combat the lies of this world with these truths, that you are on your throne, that you bless the righteous, and that you will judge the wicked. Lord, would you remind us of that this week? We ask in Jesus' name.